Hey guys, it's Anya, and this episode will basically just be about randomness. It will be about any topic that comes to my mind, and it will be about any topic that I have gotten a suggestion for. So first off, it's last day of Pride Month. Happy Pride to those of you who identify with the LGBTQ community and those who are just simply allies. You guys are what makes this month so special. And you guys are what is helping drive forward diversity and change in the community. Now, another thing that's happened this month, presidential debates. So a lot of people are really looking forward to the 2020 presidential election because everyone's sick and tired of Trump. Nobody wants to deal with him anymore. He's misogynist, he's racist, he sexually assaults women, and his defense is, she's not my type, I wouldn't do it. And he's really negatively impacted his country because this is the largest, you know, outpour of Democrats running in, I think, American history or in a long time. Now, usually we'd have like maybe 4 or 5. This time we have 20 Democratic candidates running for president. And out of those 20, about 3 are women, which I'm very excited about, especially for Kamala Harris, because she is a woman of color. And to have not only a man of color become president, but a woman of color become president, that would be something totally extraordinary. But yes, the last few days, last two nights, there were debates within the Democratic group. And a lot of them were talking about things that a lot of people want in this country, whether it's affordable health care, rights to abortion, being able to go to college without the fear of student debt. A lot of these things were discussed, and, you know, it made a lot of people realize, you know, Democrats might be or actually are the win for 2020. And for individuals, they saw not only people representing them, whether it's their ethnicity, the color of their skin, diversity, but also just, you know, their beliefs and values. And the reason why so many Democrats are coming out is because they're afraid of Trump getting a second term. They've seen the damage he's done in these last 4 years. You know, whether it's threatening Iran or pulling out of the climate change bills that could have helped, you know, lower CO2 emissions. He's just making a mess of this country. He's embarrassing this country, especially when it comes to our immigration policies. Not only are DACA holders threatened, but now we have children in cages at the American-South American border because of the fact that he feels that these people should not be allowed into our country, when in reality these people that are coming are escaping poverty, you know, gang violence, and just a lack of support from their government and from the community. And not only are their children being put into cages, families are being separated, but people are dying in these facilities. People are dying trying to cross over to America. Recently, a father and daughter died trying to get into the United States across the river. And, you know, the way that they portrayed their bodies is horrendous. But at the same time, I'm somewhat grateful that the media showed that photo, because that is a photo of the reality that is going on in our nation, on the borders of our nation, is that people are sacrificing their lives to get over here to try and get a better life, and yet they're being treated with disrespect, inhumane actions, and they're just left vulnerable. You know, and Trump is only trying to make it harder for immigrants to become U.S. citizens, to get some type of visa to stay here. You know, and then he wonders why there's so many people flooding in, because the harder you make it legally, the more likely it is they'll come illegally, because you can't go through those requirements to come here legally and get that opportunity. And, you know, it's sad that one of Trump's representatives, she testified that, you know, soap toothbrush and toothpaste and proper blankets aren't necessities for a child, which is ridiculous, because as much as it was put into law that refugees could be held in certain places in humane conditions, none of these conditions are humane, and yet the Trump administration is ignoring it and trying to justify it as it is humane. They are okay, when in reality, you have children sick, we have children dying, dirty, unable to take showers, sleeping on the floor with metal, tin, aluminum-like blankets, which are only used in cases of emergency. You know, that is the last thing any child should go through. And not only that, but they're being denied basic rights and basic health care. You know, and we should not be dealing with something like this in this respect. You know, for the country that has the most resources, the most opportunities for anything and everything, we should not have this type of situation where there are kids in cages, people going hungry, families being separated. You know, people see this as a land of opportunity, but now it's the land of, I need to come here anyways or else I'm gonna die, but I know me and my child might possibly be separated. You know, families coming here should only have the mindset of, I'm finally getting away from the danger in my home country, not as much as I need to leave, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my family because of what I've heard. And, you know, the few children that have died, the few minors that have died, that should have woken people up, especially the pro-lifers, which is moving on to another topic of abortion and abortion rights. As much as pro-lifers say they are pro-life, they are ignoring the children that are actually born and alive. You know, they ignore the children in the foster care system. They don't want to help those children succeed and thrive because it seems to them as if once a child is born, they're on their own. You know, they'll advocate for a fetus or for a baby, whatever terminology you respect to call it as, in the womb before it's born. But once that child is born, it's as if they don't exist anymore in that person's eyes. They are a child, they're on their own, they're alive, congratulations, you took your first breath, but I can't help you with health insurance or welfare or food stamps because, you know, whatever. And it's disheartening for you to not give a shit about the people and children who are actually here on this planet but are putting thousands and millions towards making abortions illegal for the sake of that child to be born, only to be born into extreme poverty or poverty period, is beyond me. Now, there was also a recent case of a woman of color. She had been shot in the stomach. She was 5 months pregnant, and because she was shot in the stomach, her pregnancy was ended. Now she's being held in jail with a $50,000 bail, all because she's being accused of murdering her child. Now, the reason people are putting this onto her is because, according to the files document, the case, it was said that she was the one that provoked the attack. But regardless, she could have lost her life. She lost her child. I'm pretty sure she had some upsetting thoughts and emotions to deal with. Not only that, but you're putting her in jail for something that isn't her fault. You know, she did not purposely try to lose this baby, and even if she did, like, someone rile up an argument, she does not deserve to be put into jail all because of that. You know, and for all those states who are taking complete control over abortions and making complete abortion bans with no exceptions in cases of rape and incest, you know, you are setting so many people up to for failure, whether it's financial failure or just failure in general, because you need to realize there are so many reasons why women get abortions. And it's not just because, oh, I don't want to have this baby. It's because I can't afford to take care of this baby. I have so many children already. I don't want any more children. I'm not ready for children. This baby can kill me if I bring it to term. You know, there are plenty of medical instances where a fetus had to be aborted all because of this fact that if the mother brought the fetus to term, she might die. And especially in cases of rape, it's already traumatizing enough to be raped, but to be forced to bring that rapist baby to term, and then when that child grows up, eventually having to explain the background of how they were born is, you know, just a traumatizing event that, you know, women shouldn't be forced to cope with all because some think abortion is inhumane. And regardless of the fact that you're bringing a child into this world and you think it's wrong for you to quote-unquote kill them before they have a chance, if the mother is aborting for a reason, especially a financial reason, you're only bringing that child into poverty. And when you bring that child into poverty, they're going to die anyways, or just dying slower because of a lack of nutrition, the lack of education, and lack of resources that you don't want to give them, all because, hey, you took your first breath, we don't need to help you anymore. And, you know, poverty is a silent killer in America, whether pro-lifers realize it or not. And as much as they want a child, or fetus, whatever you call it, as I said, to be born, once they're born into poverty, you're basically almost allowing them to be killed. Twice. Slowly, whatever you see fit. Because as much as that child's fetus did take their first breath, their breaths later on will be shallow, you know, hard to breathe, whether it's because they're dying of malnourishment, they don't have enough food to eat, they can't breathe because their insurance isn't accepted and they can't go to the hospital for a stabilizer treatment. All these things add up to what could have and what couldn't have happened if that abortion was allowed. If, you know, people just mind their own business. And, you know, I get people have their own opinions and their own beliefs, but at the same time, what someone does with their body and their personal life, it's none of your business. I get it, all you think is wrong, but it's them, it's their life. Let them do what they want to do. If you want to be like, oh, you're going to hell for that, let them go to hell if you believe in that. You know, it's none of your business, it's none of your concern. Your job isn't to hover over everybody. Your job isn't to just be in everybody's business. Your job is to give people life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that means keeping your nose out of their lives and out of their business. Their healthcare is their right. Abortion is healthcare, and healthcare is a right. That's all it is. And if you do not agree with that, then, you know, okay, oh well. But, you know, banning legal abortions will not completely ban abortions. You are just banning the safe, doctor-led abortions that saves lives. If we go back to when abortions were illegal, it would just go back to back alley abortions, women using wire hangers to abort the baby themselves and ultimately injuring or killing themselves, all because, you know, they felt like they had no other choice, mainly because, one, they didn't have any other choice, and two, they couldn't keep the pregnancy for whatever reason, which is why they needed abortion in the first place. Another thing I want us to talk about, since it is the last day of Pride Month, is Pride. So, I believe, I don't remember what state it was, but there is a state in the U.S. that has allowed for a straight Pride Month in August. Now, for those of you who somehow are living under a rock and are unaware of the situation at hand, straight pride is basically what it sounds like. You're celebrating the fact that you are heterosexual and you date the opposite gender. Now, The last time I checked, Pride started out as a revolution, started out as a protest, and now that it's a giant party and parade, everybody wants to get involved. And what makes people mad is that this party and parade isn't for them. It isn't about them. So they turn it into something where it can be for them. It can be about them, which is what the Straight Pride Parade is about. And it's really disheartening to think people will actually go to this measure, especially since, you know, the Pride Parade represents all the struggles and accomplishments that the LGBTQ community has gone through and has survived, you know, through these decades and just centuries of being gay, straight, trans, or whatever you identify as. And it's fighting against the stigma that they are not people, that they do not deserve rights, that they should be looked down upon for their sexual orientation or their sexual identity, which is not true. You know, and the people of the LGBTQ community are denied healthcare. They are denied jobs. You know, they're beaten up simply because they identify as what they identify as. And for people to have the audacity to think they deserve a parade when they have none of those struggles is really sickening and disheartening. You know, we should live in a time where all that bullshit is behind us. But unfortunately, it's still present to this day. We still have people being homophobic. We still have people being attacked and brutalized for the fact that they're holding hands on the street with their same-sex partner, or that they kiss their same-sex partner in public, or simply because of the way they dress or the way they sound when they speak. All these stereotypes coming into play, and all of this generational hatred that is being consumed and continued to be passed on. Now this generation, my generation, Generation Z, and you know, we're the most accepting generation, and a lot of older generations are saying this is the gayest generation yet, which is not true. There have been gay people since the beginning of time. This is just the most openly gay generation, the most openly trans, bi, he, she, they, they generation that has been allowed because we are trying to progress this nation as a whole. You know, we're trying to progress our communities. And for those older generations that have conformed with the use of technology and the cell phones, you guys can also conform with properly gendering people, with properly using your pronouns, with properly accepting, you know, the community as a whole, because we're not going anywhere. And you know, we'll just have more pride parades after the next. We'll still fight to be recognized, and Stonewall was only the beginning. Trump banning trans members from the military is only the start of a bigger revolution, of something bigger that no one has seen before. And, you know, the community shouldn't have to struggle to feel warm and welcomed and just struggle to survive all because of their preferences. You know, as much as people say they accept others for who they are, most of the time, especially nowadays, that isn't true. You know, we struggle, some people struggle to conform to the idea that a man will kiss a man and, you know, have sex with each other. That's just a really big mind buster to them. You know, it doesn't make sense to them. There was this one post on Instagram about Bill Nye. He was talking, it was a before and after photo of him talking about how gender, there's only two genders. And then modern day today when he was saying that gender is a spectrum. If Bill Nye from you know, the 60s, 70s generation can conform his thought pattern and ideas to what it modernly is today, then, you know, other people from that generation shouldn't have that problem either. As much as we learned photosynthesis from him, we should also be able to learn that gender is a spectrum. And it's just not male or female. It can be a mix, it can be one or the other, or it can just be completely non-binary. Because that's what it is. So that is it for this episode. I will be back soon with more content, more information. Remember, you can send me a voice message with just comments about the podcast or a suggestion. All you have to do is download the Anchor app, which is available in the Apple Store and on Google Play. Search up the Teen Activist and press that green voice message button all the way in the upper right-hand corner. There you can record your voice talking about how much you like the podcast, any comments you have, and any suggestions you have for another video. I'm Anya, and I'll see you next time.